in the beginning, at the very, very beginning, I would like to read to you an excerpt from Discover Magazine. Discover Magazine is one of the two premier popular magazines of science in the United States. The other one is Scientific American. I brought a copy of Scientific American with me because I find that it is often very easy to learn useful things about Ayurveda by studying science. And what I would like to read to you first is a short article that is entitled Deception Plagued Medical Research. And I quote, a study published in June of 2005 found that an alarming percentage of medical research in the United States is not only untrustworthy, but is downright deceitful. The University of Minnesota and the Health Partners Research Foundation surveyed several thousand scientists that are funded by the National Institutes of Health. Now, the National Institutes of Health in the United States is the government body that is in charge of running research that is sponsored by the government, and therefore is something that we would assume would be reliable research. One third, 33%, of the people who responded admitted anonymously, obviously they will not admit, they will not put their names to the fact that they have been lying. They admitted anonymously that they had performed at least one of 10 serious ethical lapses, such as plagiarizing, stealing material from other people, or fabricating data, inventing things that were not there simply because they needed it to support their theory. Even more common were minor misbehaviors, like dropping conflicting data or withholding results. The researcher, Melissa Anderson, thinks that these deceptive practices may stem from the perception of these scientists that they are not being treated fairly when it comes to receiving grants from the university or getting proper credit. Science in the United States, said Anderson, is built on a highly competitive system that relies heavily on junior researchers. There are structural inequities in the way that we have built the system that make the junior scientists sense injustice in the organization and encourages them to act accordingly. So, right from the very beginning, I would like to propose to you that on the basis of this data, we have to consider that the major premise that Western, and I'm not going to use the word Western science, because after all, there are millions of Indian scientists that are making names for themselves all around the world. If modern science is fundamentally flawed in the sense that it believes itself to be objective, when in fact it is as subjective as any other human creation. And the very fact that modern scientists believe themselves to be objective makes them have a much larger blind spot than those human beings who are aware that in fact they are not objective. Now, this would not be a problem if the scientists who were so unobjective were trying to tell the rest of us that they are objective. If, in fact, they were just being non-objective and they were minding their own business and they were living in some distant place where we would not have to deal with them, they would be fine. But, in fact, they are trying to tell us how to live our lives and they are doing it from an inherently flawed position. This is, to my mind, an extraordinarily serious calamity from the point of view of the possibility of having science move us in a direction that is not only positive from the point of view of progress, but also positive from the point of view of enhancing the ability of human beings to achieve to their best potential. I feel a dramatic obligation to read you another excerpt from a publication in the United States. This is a review of a book called The Singularity Is Near, When Humans Transcend Biology. It is by a man named Ray Kurzweil. Mr. Kurzweil is an accomplished inventor in the field of pattern recognition software and artificial intelligence. So he's a well-known guy. He is a futurist. He is a prize-winning author. He has become a successful investor. He swallows 250 pills per day to reorganize his biological chemistry. He is convinced that he is going to live long enough, possibly another 30 to 50 years, to reach what he calls the singularity. The singularity is the point where the pace of technological change will become so rapid and its impact so deep that human life will be irreversibly transformed. Among other things, Mr. Kurzweil believes that within 30 to 50 years, we will be able to download our minds out of our bodies into brand new robotic bodies so that we will not have to deal with any sorts of problems, diseases, or anything other than, of course, computer viruses, which apparently you think will be solved by that problem by that time. So Mr. Kurzweil is under the impression that not only is technology going to make it easier for human beings to live a successful life, it will enable them not to be human beings any longer. Now,